Well, tonight, if you got your Bibles, go with me to the Old Testament, to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. Matthew, the 10th chapter. I think this will really be a blessing to you tonight. And then we're going to pray for the sick tonight. So, Pastor Brad, none of these are permanent, are they? I just did that in a church, so that's why I ask. Okay, cool. That one works. Cool. I just did that. They went, they gave me one, and the guy came up. He goes, I got brand new markers for you, and I write it down. All of it's impermanent. And theirs wasn't a portable. It was in the wall. So that sermon's still up there today. So, all right. So Matthew 10, just a funny scripture to share with you. Matthew 10, 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. Verse 34. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now that's not typically a message you'll ever hear preached. I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. So underline that, because we're going to come back to that. For I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be they of his own household. And he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, several different things going on here. These last scriptures here that I read after the sword scripture, it's speaking about distractions. It's talking about voices in your life. How many of you know there are many voices around us, right? We've got family voices, we've got business voices, we've got neighborhood voices, we've got voices of friends, all of those voices that are around us. Jesus is saying, let every voice be done in your life except for my voice. And let your love and your affection be most of all to me more than anybody else, right? But in verse 34, Jesus says this. He said, I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. Now, a sword is not something you use to butter your bread with. You understand? So a sword is a killing device. Now, some things you have to read, as I said last night, the Bible is 66 books written primarily with an Eastern mindset, not a Western mindset like we have. So we have lenses that we look through our Western lens. So the moment we read the Bible, we instantly put on our Western lens of individualism. But it's not. This is not written as individual. You understand? Like I said last night. Right? So it's not an individualistic thing. It's a group thing, right? It's all about a group, okay? So that's how the Bible speaks. He speaks to groups, and it's constantly that way. Yet it applies individually, but he's primarily speaking through the lens of groups, okay? Same thing is true here with several other things. How many of you remember when Jesus cast out the demons and sent them into the pigs? How many of you remember that? Okay, there was a purpose in that. The purpose was this, that in that day and age, what the Romans did was this. The Romans were wicked. The Romans went and did several different things. They were this conquering army. And what they did was, when they conquered a city, to put alarms up around the city, they would surround the city with pigs. You understand? There was no ADT back then. Alarm systems. You understand? So the alarm system was the pigs. So the pigs were the alarm system. So these pigs that surrounded the city, the Bible says Jesus cast out the demons, and he asked them, they said, cast the demons into the pigs. In other words, we are taken over by Rome. Cast the demons into the pigs. And the Bible says that demons went into the pigs, and the Bible says they went and they killed themselves. What was that saying to that city? What that was saying to that city was, a new king has come and taken over your city. That's what prophetically Jesus was doing by that one miracle. He was saying, my authority is greater than any natural government on the earth. And I have completely come to take over this city. And just by that one simple miracle, that's why the next verse says, "And Jesus, they asked Jesus, please leave this city." Are you with me? That's why they did that. Okay. Well, here, if you remember, Rome is in power at this time. The Roman sword is the most different sword of all. Prior to Rome, all the swords in ancient history were all big giant swords. And they were usually, well, they weren't usually, they were all one-sided swords. So the swords of all the different empires before Rome came with a one-sided sword. You understand? One edge, thank you. Yeah, one edge. They had one edge and they were large. So when you fought, you had to pull back and then you could hit again. The Romans went and said most fighting occurs right here. So they shorten the sword to about 22 inches and they make it double-sided. It had never been seen before the Romans came, a double-edged sword. So the Romans come with this double-edged sword that was for close-quarter fighting, and they took over the world. Come on, right? So Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. Okay, so now just remember that as we kind of go through here through the New Testament. Now go over to the book of Hebrews. Are you all okay tonight? Okay. I got a word from the Lord for you, so you're going to like this, okay? So Hebrews 4 says this, 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is what? Living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Come on, right? So he's talking about the Romans. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner in the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And it says, and there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we give account. Now, in verse 12, he talks about the sword. And as he talks about the sword, watch this. He said, listen, this sword is so powerful, it can divide spirit from soul. Even, it says, marrow from bone. Well, if you know anything about biology, there's not an instrument sharp enough to separate bone from marrow. Because the two are so blended together, it's like the bone begins where the marrow ends, and you don't know where one ends and one begins. So that's why the Holy Spirit uses that terminology. The Holy Spirit says, the word of God's so sharp, it can even divide bone from marrow and spirit from soul. Come on, right? Now, if you don't know this, I'm going to share something with you here. I think this will help and be a blessing. So you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. You are a three-part being. Just like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but just in a different way. You're a three-part being. You are not a body that has a soul and a spirit. You are a spirit that has a soul and a body. So you're not a human having a spiritual experience. You're a spirit having a human experience. Come on, right? So you are a spirit. That's who you are. When you die, you will go and live whoever your Lord is. That whoever your Lord is, that's where you go live eternally. Okay, so now look up here. So when you got saved, let me see if I can do this here. So when you got saved, Darlene, your spirit became 100% covered by the blood of Jesus, 100% perfect. Never to need to be perfected more than that. Right? Your spirit was perfect. What's your name, brother? Brandon. So it's not just for them, but it's for all of us. You understand? So your spirit is perfect. You got born again, bam, your spirit was absolutely perfect. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Right? Is that right? Okay? But the problem is not your spirit. That's not your problem. Okay? Now, we know this, that if you got saved and in your body you had a broken leg when you got saved, your leg could still be broken. Is that right? Even though your spirit is perfect, but your body still is not yet perfected. Okay? But the same thing is true with your soul. Now, God says to every single one of us in the room, God says, now you have to renew your mind. You have to renew. You have to renew this thing. You have to renew it. The soul is your mind, will, and emotions. That's where the battle is. The battle is not in the heavenlies over this county. It's not in the spirit realm. The battle is between your ears. Are you with me? The battle is not that big. The battle is right here. The greatest battle in the history of this planet was by Jesus Christ conquering hell and death and sin and Satan. Can we all agree with that? And he died, help me out loud now, this is not a tricky question. He died on a hill. What was the hill called? What does Golgotha mean, somebody? It means what, sir? The place of the skull. So wait a second, you're telling me that the greatest battle in the history of this planet was at the place of the skull. Come on, stay with me now tonight. You're telling me the greatest battle ever in the history of this planet was on a hill called the place of the skull. So guess where your greatest battle is? The place of your skull. Come on. That's where your battle is. It's not up there. It's not the devil below you. You have authority over him. The problem, it's right here between the ears. It's the renewing of the mind. Some people are like, the devil's been after me all week. No, it's not the devil. It's your carnal mind. I'm going to show it to you out of the scriptures. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Is this okay tonight? And we're going to pray for the sick, I promise you. But in Romans 8, this will set you free forever if you get this thing tonight. So Romans 8, I'm going to throw a lot of scriptures at you, so you just got to keep up with me, okay? So the sword comes, all right? So we started there. The sword comes, and it can divide that soul from the spirit. Bam. It separates spirit from soul. This thing needs to be renewed. This thing is already perfect. Whoops. Right? That thing's already perfected. But now, in Romans 8, it says, it starts to talk about condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who don't walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And as you keep on going, watch in verse 5. Okay? Verse 5 is the key verse. If you don't get verse 5, you will always struggle. Are you with me? I used to work with drug addicts and alcoholics when I started in the ministry. And it's not just people with addictions that struggle with this. It's church people who say hallelujah and speak in tongues and carry a big old fat Bible that could choke a moose. They suffer the same battles. Okay? It's right here in Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh, the devil made them do it. Is that what it says? I said, is that what it says? Oh, those who live according to the flesh, it must be a generational curse. That's what it is. Is that what it says? It doesn't say that. But why do churches preach that crap? When it actually says, for those who live according to the flesh, what do? They set their own minds on what? Things of the flesh. And those who live according to the Spirit, what do? They set their minds on things of the Spirit. So the problem is, what is your mind set on? What is your mind or your thoughts? Some people are like, I'm so tempted, or the devil's after me. And, you know, Flip Wilson used to say that. The devil made me do it, right? The devil can't make you do anything. Come on, he can't. He's totally defeated. The only thing he can do is begin to begin to speak into your mind, and you fail and you crumble underneath your soul, and you listen to your body instead of you listen to your spirit. Your spirit wants to pray. Your soul and your body never want to pray. You ever notice that? It's just like your body never wants to do anything. The alarm goes off in the morning and your body says, give me 10 more minutes and I'll be your best friend. Right? Your body doesn't want to get up. Your body doesn't want to exercise. Come on, talk to me, Indiana. Is that true? Your body doesn't want to diet. Is that right? Your body doesn't want to eat right. Guess, and nor does your soul. Right? Amen. Right? So where's the problem? Is it a demon? Is it a devil? No, you know what it is? It's your thoughts. And what you think on is what you'll do. My stepdad is a gunsmith. And so I grew up in a home full of guns. And they never went off and shot anybody. It's the weirdest thing. But anyways. Come on, brother. Okay. They just didn't start going off and shooting the neighborhood. Isn't that funny? But we had hundreds of them in our house. Hundreds of them. And so my stepdad, he went and he made guns. And he actually even makes guns for the government. And they actually just made a gun that shoots 5 miles for the government. 5 miles connected to a computer. Can you imagine? 5 miles away. It's crazy. But when I was a little boy and he was teaching me about guns, he began to say this to me. He said, Tom, wherever the sight is pointed, the bullet will just go there. Right? Wherever your thoughts are pointed, you are going to go there. Are you with me? When I was in wrestling in high school, my old wrestling coach used to say this. He used to say, push a man's head down, the body will follow. Because as the head, so the body. Are you with me? Guess what? The enemy knows that. And so all he does is play in your head. All he does is play in your thoughts. Some people should be here tonight and have left the church because of some stupid little offense that doesn't mean a hill of beans. And come on, somebody. But you know where the battle was? It wasn't up there. The battle was right here. And they failed the test with a big fat F. Aren't you with me? Some people are like, I'm not going to that church anymore. The pastor's wife didn't wave at me at Walmart. Wow, you spiritual thing. Nothing gets by you, does it? I mean, wow, you better leave. I mean, I could see why you left. Come on, right? So it's time for the church to begin to realize that our problem is not in it's not the spirit, the problem is in the soul. This is where it is. Now go over to the New Testament, where we are in the New Testament, sorry, go over to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to show you in the book of Ephesians, it says, Ephesians and Colossians are sister books. So in Ephesians and Colossians, Paul uses a real funny word, and he calls it the old man and the new man. In verse 17 of chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the nations walk in the futility of their mind. So what's he talking about? Your mind. What goes on in your mind? Thoughts, right? Having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God because the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, being past feeling, giving themselves over lewdness, uncleanness, greediness. But you've not so learned Christ. If indeed you've heard him, been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus, that you would put off, come on, everyone say put off. Put off concerning the former conduct, the old man. Now the old man is not your father. So here, the Holy Spirit says, hey, put this thing off. He doesn't say pray and ask God to do it. Nowhere in that verse does it use the word prayer. Nowhere in there. So who's got to put it off? We do, right? So you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man that grows corrupt according to his deceitful lust, and be what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind. right? That you'd put on the new man. Ah, here he says this. He says, listen, you got something to put off, and you got something you got to put on. So you got something you got to put on, and you got something you got to put off. So you got to put off an old thought process, and you got to put on a new process. It's a reprogramming. It's like anyone understand computers very good? Raise your hand if you're pretty good with computers. Anyone? One person in the whole building? My Lord. Okay. How many of you aren't going to raise your hand no matter what I say? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. You're bad, all right? She raises her hand. Terrible. Okay. So in computers, okay, you have like, especially with PC, because they're more prevalent, people write codes that are viruses. Computer viruses. All it is a small code, and then they just put it out there so it just messes up somebody's computer. Sometimes it'll take over your computer, and sometimes it'll take money out of your account. Okay? And in fact, there was a little girl that watched a YouTube video. 11-year-old girl made the news, and she saw a video on hacking, and she hacked into Bank of America. Just for fun. She was just doing it for fun. I mean, the FBI showed up at her door as she was in there, and she was just looking at all the money. And she wasn't going to take any of it, but she hacked in there. You understand? So, but this virus thing, what it does is it begins to attack the hard drive. One time I had a computer that had such a bad virus, it lit my computer on fire. There was a TV show I saw that the U.S. government got into a cyber war. That's the name of the TV show, Cyber War. And we got into a cyber war unbeknownst to the majority of the American public in 2011. In 2011, President Obama went and issued a cyber war on Iran. And they went in and they looked at all these pictures of the Iranian nuclear testing. And what they did was they saw one little thing that was in there, and what they did was they had all these hackers in America hack into that thing. It was called Stutnex. And they put this virus in there called Stutnex, and it raised the temperature of that thing, and it blew up the entire plant so they can't have a nuclear weapon. That happened in 2011. But it came, even to this day, most intelligence agencies still will not admit that thing, right? Stutnex. And so, but guess what? When the enemy comes to you with a virus in your mind, what is it? It's an old man thing. It's an old thought process. It's an old thought process. Maybe it's called depression. Maybe it's called feeling sorry for yourself. Whoops. Maybe it's called anger. Come on, someone, help me here, right? Maybe it's called bitterness, right? It's not a demon. It's a thought. Come on, right? All of these are just nothing but viruses. These viruses, what they do is they begin to clog up your spirit, your soul, and it messes your whole system up. And you have to put that thing off. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, I'm going to put it off. Right? So here he talks about putting it off. Now go over to Colossians. I think it's Colossians chapter 2, I think. Oh, no, chapter 3. Colossians 3, verse 2. I'm just going to hit a couple verses. Verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Right? It doesn't say ask God to do it. You do it. Where the head goes, the body follows, right? Verse 9, do not lie to one another since you've put off the old man. There's lying is in there. With his deeds. And you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there's neither Greek or Jew, or circumcised, uncircumcised, etc., etc., right? So here he begins to tell us what to do. He tells us exactly what to do. And so here Jesus sends the word of God to divide soul from spirit. And the majority of people, they live their lives out of their soul and their body. And they miss God. They miss the kingdom. They miss the anointing. They miss the thing that God has for them. Who knows? Maybe last night I would have had five more words for five other people, but they weren't here last night because maybe a thought came to them and said, you know, you're kind of tired. The Lord understands. Come on. You know, I'm a little weary here. I know the Lord would just want me to rest and stay at home. Can you imagine ever the Lord saying that? I don't want you at church. I definitely want you at home watching television. Doesn't that just sound like the Holy Spirit? I definitely want you at home watching lots of TV and not going to the church in the presence. I mean, come on. How dumb can you get and still breathe? I mean, my Lord. Come on, somebody. But you know what it is? There's a war. There's a war going on. There's a war right now in your life, in your city, in your house, over your thoughts. And who's going to win? And every day that battle is up. Every day you have to grab a hold of those thoughts. Every day you have to do that. Every day, every day, every day you have to learn to listen to the Spirit. Let me say it like this. Is in the Old Testament, they used to worship God in the tabernacle of Moses. And in the tabernacle of Moses, it was the outer court, inner court, holy of holies. Woo, time is flying. Okay. And as they went in the holy of holies, they had the outer court where anybody could go. And then the inner court where some people could go. But in the holy of holies, only a very, very select people could go. You understand? The outer court is a prophetic picture of the body. Anybody could go. In the Old Testament, Jew, Gentile, male, female, clean, unclean, anyone could go in the outer court. That's a prophetic picture of the body. The inner court, it had to be naturally lit by man. Man had to put a candle in there, or we call it the seven golden candlesticks. But man had to light it. The soul. The man had to do something about it. But in the Holy of Holies, the Bible says there was no light there, for God lit it himself. Come on, right? Guess what? Your spirit, the Bible says, is the candle of the Lord, lighting all the inward parts of your belly. Come on, right? So God lights you up from the inside through your spirit man. Your spirit man leads and directs you, and you don't even know it. You have no idea. You're being led by that, by the Holy Spirit, as you just set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Amen? So as we begin to do that, now all of a sudden we begin to walk in the presence. We begin to walk in the kingdom. We begin to walk in the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because this battle, this war that's going on, this battle and this war that's going on, so many have crashed and burned. Are you with me? You know, some people say, you know, I'm really struggling. And I used to tell people this. Now, when I got saved 36 years ago, I went and I read some books from a guy by the name of Kenneth Hagin, and he talked about the Word of God as the most important thing in your life. And so I began to dive into God's Word. And I began to say, I'm going to read the Word every day. Every time I come to church, I'm going to bring my Bible and I'm going to check it out. Whatever the preacher says, I'm going to follow it with him. Are you with me? And so as I began to do that, I didn't know that God has an antivirus program. Hey, Norton right here. And it goes in and it cleans all the junk out of the world. Why? Because these are God's thoughts. And now I'm replacing my thoughts with his thoughts. Come on, right? And now I'm renewing my mind as I delve into his word. I'm chasing that virus out and I'm putting off the old man. I'm putting off those old things. Come on, right? There's young people that should be here. There's all kinds of people that should be here tonight, but it's not a demon that does it. Everyone, you know, you always have Christians say, you know, there's a demon over this area. This is the devil's headquarters. And I want to tell them, I just came from another place and they told me the devil's headquarters was there. then I came from another place before that, and they told me that that was the devil's headquarters. So where's the devil's headquarters at? You know what? I could get care a flying flip where the devil's headquarters are. You know why? Because I realized that the battle is not out here. The battle is right here at the place of the skull. Come on, somebody. And so that's where the battle is. Here, I mean, there's so many different things in this. Discouragement, right? Come on, right? All of these different things. All these different things are processes of the old man, or also we call it the flesh. Just another terminology. But here in the spirit, the spirit's got fruit too. Come on, someone help me. What is the spirit's thoughts? Love, joy, peace, long suffering, right? Right? Goodness. Hey, all these things. Meekness, right? Self-control. Ah, wow. Not demon control, right? Self-control, right? Is that right? So these are the fruits of the new man. Those are the fruits of the old man. So you got to ask yourself this question. Who's talking? Who's talking? When you're at home, who's talking when you get that negative call? Who's talking when that guy cuts you off in traffic? Right? Who's talking when you get that bad report? Who's talking? Who are you going to let? What thoughts are you going to let come out? You have a choice, because this battle is right here, and God comes with a sword to separate them so that you function out of the spirit. I mean, you can do that. Are you with me? Some people say, well, you've got it easier. You've not gone through what I've gone through. And so, who cares? Are you with me? I mean, James, you'll love this. I have a friend who's a missionary to Burma. He went to Burma and he started a house church there, because it's illegal to worship Jesus and stuff. And he started this house church, and he began to pray. He said, God, give me a person of peace, just like out of the book of Matthew and Luke. He said, give me a person of peace, God. So this woman comes, no teeth, all rotted out of her head from drugs and alcohol. She's wasted out of her head. He preaches the gospel to her. She's a 64-year-old prostitute. He preaches the gospel to her, and she gets radically saved. And are you with me? And then she goes and he tells her, he says, listen, this is what you do. Exactly what I'm telling you. Don't try to, change it. Do this. She goes and she comes back next day. She said, yeah, I prayed with 10 people to receive Jesus last night. He's like, how many? She said, 10. Is that okay? The next day she led like 10. And then she led another 10. And she just kept doing that. And then she kept starting other small groups and stuff. He said, she's an apostle. He said, 6 months ago, she was a drug addict and drug dealer and a prostitute. 6 months ago. And she started herself 143 churches in her first 6 months of salvation. Come on, somebody. 143 churches, and all of these churches are about 10 to 15 in number. Come on, somebody. I mean, everybody in the natural would have discounted her, but she just did what he said, and she began to read the Bible and stuff, and she wasn't very literate, so she couldn't read very much and stuff, and so they kind of had to help her. But what was it doing? She was learning this. Put off, put on. Put off, put on. What else is over in the old man? You know what else is over in the old man? I can't do evangelism. I can't. The word I can't is always over there. That's the old man. The old man always says, I can't. Can't do it. Can't do it. No, I can't do that. I can't go with you, James. Right? But over here is I can. Come on, right? In the new man is I can. But in the old man, I can't. Can't do it. Not my gift. Right? Are you with me? Just like that woman. She said, I can. Is that all right? I'm meddling a little bit here tonight. We already took the offering, right? No, I'm just kidding. Just teasing. Okay. But listen, this is where God is speaking to the church. You want to know what the church is saying globally? I'm telling you. I'm prophesying to you now. I'm telling you. I'm a preacher of the nations. I just came from ministry in Portland, Oregon. God was speaking the same thing there about their identity in Christ. Walk in your identity. Walk in the new man. I was like, wow, I just came from ministry in South Africa. Everyone was talking about put off the old man. Walk in the new man. Walk in your sonship in Christ. I was going to have Brad end that last song with, I am a son of God. Instead of a child of God, I'm a son of God. 1 John chapter 3 says, now, beloved, now we are the sons of God. You know, ladies say, I'm a daughter. No, you're not. The word says you're a son. I'm sorry. If I got to be the bride of Christ, you got to be a son. So just suck it up, all right? If we're the bride, they got to be a son. Isn't that fair, Pastor? Right? Okay. All right. So you're a son. Now listen, the word child of God is only mentioned a couple of times in the Bible. It's mostly, in the Greek, it's mostly talking about maturity in sons, sonship. Are you with me? So only a couple of times does it refer to that, use the word child of God. And it usually means baby. Someone who's an infant. Are you still an infant? Oh, you better not be, right? You better grow up. Come on, right? I mean, if you're 70 years old, are you an infant in the natural? No, you grew up. Time to mature. Time to grow up. Guess what, church? Time to grow up spiritually. Come on, right? I want to give you one last scripture. Look over in, this is nothing like I thought tonight, but Ephesians 4. Go to Ephesians 4. This is what God was speaking in Norway when I was just in Norway. This is what God was speaking in Canada. I was just in Canada. This is what God was speaking in Amsterdam. You know, this is what God was speaking in Holland amongst the Dutch. Guess what he's speaking about? Sonship. Sonship. Grow up now. Come on. Time to grow up. Time to grow up. Time to grow up, church. This is what God is speaking collectively all over the world. You go on Facebook, whole chat rooms and all of this kinds of stuff. Everyone's talking about sonship, identity. Why? This is what God is speaking. This is his language. It's time that we don't anymore play over here in the old man. And we're, I mean, you know, some people, they've wore their rededicator out. I got to rededicate. Yeah, your rededicator wore out long ago. Come on, somebody. You got to overhaul the thing or something. Come on, right? So it's not that you need to rededicate. You just need to put off the old man. You have to put those thoughts off. I'm not going to think those thoughts of lust. I'm not going to think those thoughts of greed, or I'm not going to think those thoughts of competition and all of that. Why? Because those things aren't over here in the spirit. They aren't spiritual things. Spiritual things are these things. These are spirit things. Amen? So Ephesians chapter 4 says this. Now this one's going to blow your brain right out of your skull. Are you ready for it? Just tell your neighbor, say, I'll clean up your brains after you clean up mine. Okay. So Ephesians 4 verse 7. Promise you, last scripture. But to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he led ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it also mean that he first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he may fill all things. And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right? For what? Oh, for the equipping or the training of the saints. For what? Wait a minute. I thought we paid the five dudes to do the work of the ministry. Oh, you mean they're just to train the saints to do the work? Yeah. For the equipping of the saints or training of the saints for what? Works of ministry. For the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man. Now, the word perfect means mature believer. Mature. That's what it means. Mature man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, right? That we should no longer be children What are children like? Tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness and plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things in him in whom the whole body is fitly joined together and every work supplies. Come on, right? Amen. So guess what? Here's newsflash. You don't get apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers forever. You only get them until what, Tom? Until the body grows up. Our job ends when the body grows up. But right now we have so many people who are content in a spiritual immature state. Their spirit is perfect. But the problem is right here, the battle of the skull. That's where they have to begin to change. They have to learn to grow up. The book of James is a book for babies. If you don't know that, that's a book to start someone who's a brand new Christian on, the book of James. Why? Because the whole book of James was for baby Christians, right? He who's happy, sing songs, right? He who's sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and they'll anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And if he's committed sins, then it'll be forgiven him. You understand? That's all baby talk. You understand? But even the verse before that, are you ready for a whopper? The Bible says in James chapter 5, it says, he who is afflicted, let him pray. Thank you for that enthusiasm, Indiana. I shall never forget it in 2018. Overwhelming. He that's afflicted, let him pray. Not call the prayer chain of the church. He that's afflicted, he says to the baby, you pray. Your problem? You pray. Why? Because you have to learn. Why? I have to learn. Oh, yeah, but our church doesn't do it like that. Well, change. Come on, somebody. Change. Start to say, I'm going to stop doing this stuff. I'm going to stop living like this. I'm going to stop constantly being offended over every stupid little thing. Come on. Brad didn't sing my favorite song. Well, you poor little thing, you. We weren't singing to you anyway. Worship is not even about you. You're not even in the equation. Come on, somebody. So it's time for the church to grow up and step over here. Get out of living out of your soul. Renew your mind. Change your thoughts. Begin to grab these thoughts. Walk with thoughts of the Spirit. That's what revival is. Revival is not just someone laying hands on you and you falling down and getting up. Oh, man, I laughed so hard. Yeah, well, it was good you fell down and laughed, but are you different? If you're still just as ornery as you were before, then hey, you need a double dip or something. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. Listen, Darlene getting baptized tonight was prophetic. I was not going to share this tonight. I was wrestling with this all day. I'm like, God, let's just do a healing service. Let's just do a healing message. And then at lunch, Pastor Rick says, we're going to baptize someone tonight. Well, you know what baptism is? Baptism is a burying of the old person. You're burying what? You're burying that old man. Come on, somebody, right? You're burying the old man who stinks. Come on. Tell your neighbors, say, those thoughts stink. Right? And they need to be buried. And they need to stay in the waters of baptism. And don't fish them out. Leave those old thoughts of addiction. Leave those old thoughts of depression. Leave those. I refuse to be depressed. I refuse. I just refuse. Come on, right? Is that okay to say tonight? I know I've gone long. Forgive me. But I just feel this is from the Lord for somebody. Because I'm going to leave. And if you don't get this, like my old Bible school instructor used to say, if I was you, I'd write this down because you're going to see it again. We knew it meant it's coming on a test. Guess what, church? If I was you, I'd write this down because you're going to see it again. And it might be this week. It might be this month. It might be sometime this year. I promise you, you will see this again because something's going to happen that's going to flare up. And the old man's going to rise up and, oh, I'm mad at this. Why are you mad? Are you functioning over here in the old man? Who's talking? Or are you going to function out of the new man? Come on, right? Tap your neighbor, say, I think he's talking about you tonight. I mean, we could lay hands on you till you go bald, but it's not going to help. You understand? We could lay hands on you till you go bald, and it's not going to help. Because why? Because this is on your skull. This is your skull. This is your battle. Right? So 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Right? Then he goes on to start to say what it is. Casting down what? Imagination. Where do imaginations take place? In your head. Right? So he was talking about the battle. The battle was never up there. The battle was always in here. Amen. And so once you realize that I'm not battling, I'm battling this demon over demon, go in the name of Jesus. Hey, that's not a problem. Jesus said, hey, the fields are white under harvest. What is he speaking from? He's speaking from the new man. It doesn't look like it, but I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. Right? So as I prophesied last night, looked like it wasn't going to happen. Court case, canceled. Right? Not canceled, but in your favor. Resolved. Those people are going to let it go. Right? Not even 24 hours later, the whole thing changed. Amen? So something happens when we change the way we think. We change our thoughts. Change your thoughts. What was the verse that Pastor started the service with? Can anyone remember? Isaiah 55. For my thoughts, but he's not talking to you. Because verse 7 says, to the wicked and the unrighteous person I say. Right? So he's not talking to you. You have his thoughts. If you don't have his thoughts, come down here. We'll pray for you. You'll get saved. And then you'll get his thoughts. And then if you don't know his thoughts, I got a whole book of his thoughts right here. You can get one. These are God's thoughts. Come on, somebody. Amen. So you have his thoughts. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, now we have the mind of Christ. So guess what? You got his thoughts. I know his ways. I was in a preacher's meeting one time. Preacher stood up and said, well, you know, our ways aren't God's ways and our thoughts aren't God's thoughts. I just raised my hand. I said, mine are. I don't know about the rest of you. I said, I've got his thoughts and I know his ways. Boy, you could have heard a pin drop. I didn't make any friends that day. Come on. Because I refuse to think like an old man. Come on, right? I refuse to think with that old man mentality. The very word renewing the mind, you know what it means? Think young. Literally in the Greek, if you translate it word for word to the English, it means think young. So think young, church. Renew your mind. Amen? Amen. Will you just put some of that worship on tonight? So, Father, tonight, yeah, just one of those songs that I have in there, just one of the MP3s. Father, we thank you right now for your presence, for your goodness. Lord, we thank you right now. Come on, just all over the church, just raise your hands. Jesus, we thank you right now. We receive the word tonight. Forgive me for going long tonight, but I just felt like I had a word from the Lord that this was just bubbling over in my heart. And God was just speaking this word over your life tonight. And God's just wanting to just encourage you to think with the mind of Christ. Think, not in the old man, but think in the new man. Why? Because he comes with the sword of the Spirit to what? Divide. Soul from spirit. Thank you, Father, for it today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.